The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Okay, a proper political natter now with the Friday Forum. It's a pleasure to welcome John Lee, executive editor with the Daily Mail Group in Ireland, who'll keep his scoops until Sunday and not tell us, but we will extract value from him. A pleasure to have Niamh Smith, of course, Fianna Fáil TD for Cavan Monaghan, chairperson of the Oireachtas Committee that has been centre stage with all the RTE media issues, and Louise O'Reilly, well-established Sinn Féin TD for Dublin Fingus, who is one of their leading frontbenchers in terms of spokesperson on enterprise and employment. So, around the houses, your take, the most memorable bit of the British general election, what it means for Ireland, what you know, did the campaign matter? A landslide was predicted. They got a landslide. Great system they have. One third of the vote, two thirds of the seats. What did you make of it, John?
The most memorable moment, I thought on the hoof there, was actually, I thought, Rishi Sunak's recent speech where he resigned outside Downing Street, and such contrast.
In full, yeah.
And in such contrast, I must be on your station, I heard it there, flipping around. In such contrast to his recent predecessors, he paid fulsome tribute on a personal level to Keir Starmer, and it seems a bit of order and a bit of common decency has been restored to British politics. But that's of no succour to the Tory party. So we see finally in Britain that your political conduct and your personal conduct are punished at the polls. And I think if the British public had a problem with, firstly, austerity, they probably would have punished the Conservatives in 2015. If they had a problem hugely with Brexit, which they didn't, they voted for, unfortunately, they may have punished them then. But the Tory party has been punished for the conduct and behaviour of Boris Johnson and the...
Surely Liz Truss was the lowest. Now, I know Partygate was bad.
And then
Liz Truss was really awful.
And I think Liz Truss was actually more damaging. And if we...
45, we'll, like a budget that collapsed.
We'll see in our own general election that people vote on their income, their tax and economic matters more so than anything. A lot of people in Britain in recent times have ended their variable mortgages, and they've seen and suffered from the behaviour of Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng, who was...
Just from the analytical point of view, I have an iron rule of politics other than China and Russia, you don't get a fifth term. Which is really interesting because Fine Gael's going for a fifth term, and it absolutely played true. They were just sick of the Tories. Like, they voted the Tories out with tactical voting. Do you think there's any parallel in Ireland or not with a new leader for Fine Gael?
Right now, like, I think Simon Harris currently has performed a trick that the Tories tried to, and in fairness, and you won't hear this very often, in fairness to poor old Liz Truss, what she was trying to do was perform the exceedingly difficult trick of becoming new and becoming the new thing while you've been in power for, at that point, 13 years, I think. Simon Harris somewhat has performed that trick. Leo Varadkar in this studio on Count Day admitted that he believed Fine Gael had done better under Simon Harris than they would have under him. So there is that sense of rejuvenation right now, and we'll see what Louise and Eve think. I'd be going in the bookies and I'd be backing the current coalition.
Okay.
To probably be re-elected.
Alright, Louise, my apologies, not of course Finglas, Leafy Malahide and all parts of Fingal, along with Dara and others there. What did you make? And obviously you were looking at from the point of view of Northern Ireland, you've the largest party, MLA, councillors and MPs, although you won't be taking up your seats. What did you make of it all?
Well, I think it's very, very clear if we look at the vote that the Labour Party, the British Labour Party got, that it was an outright rejection of 14 years of Tory austerity. Clearly, there was no appetite for a fourth term for the Tory government. What it means for people in the north, we hope, is an end to those austerity policies, which, you know, have decimated public services. So, you know, we want to see the new Labour government get up and running as soon as possible. We would have very good relations over a long time with the Labour Party. And obviously we have been, in preparation for the change of government, we have been meeting with the leading people in Labour who will be concerned and involved in the North. But, you know, we want to see from them a commitment to funding public services, the delivery of Casement Park and the A5. And I think that's absolutely essential. The repealing of the Legacy Act. And these are all commitments that would have been given in advance. But what we want to see now, it's not enough just to say the Tory austerity years are over. The Labour years need to bring hope to the people in the North as well. And we will be watching them very closely. And we'll be working with the new Labour government very closely.
OK. And I think it definitely augurs much better for Anglo-Irish relations and EU-British relations. Niamh Smith, what did you make of it all?
Well, it was very exciting, very entertaining. I don't think surprising. I think we got exactly what was predicted, and the polls have done a good job in terms of their exits and what we see this morning. I mean, obviously, as a Fianna Fáil TD, I welcome it very much, the result that we have, that there is a Labour government in place, a Labour government that certainly has made overtures in their own manifesto as to how they would, Anglo-Irish relations would develop into the future. They haven't been good, as you know, Ivan, and I think John is absolutely right. I don't think this is just a rejection of Rishi Sunak. I think this is more the historical piece of Liz Truss and of Boris Johnson. And I think, I hope that it does see a new era. I would agree with what Louise has said too around the repeal of the legacy bill. I mean, that has been hugely worrying to people in the Northern Ireland. And for the Irish government too. And you would just know that relations have been strained. And it's great to hear the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach both out this morning. You can hear it in their own speeches that there's a buoyancy there with a very hopeful future in terms of their relations with the British government.
And there may be an instant impact because if they drop the Rwanda plan, some of the migration pressures through Northern Ireland might ease off. John, the big story for me this week was the half-year exchequer returns. We're going to have a budget surplus of 8 billion. Happy days. But meanwhile, with my right hand, I've changed the date of the budget from the 8th to the 1st of October. To me, I spoke to Pat Lee earlier in the week and he said it would be an act of self-harm for the government to continue until the spring. I don't know why they're denying it so much. You know, it's an awful time of year. We've seen before rough sleepers, trolley crisis, cold weather, cash flow misery for people. I mean, the election is going to be in the autumn, isn't it?
The likelihood, it looks like, with that, we had always said if they moved the budget, it looked very likely. I don't quite see the rationale for it on every level. I've often said, well, if you're going to go early, why not go the week after the previous general election? If you have any respect, and Rishi Sunak has shown this, if you have any respect for the agenda you're trying to sell and the electorate and your commitment to build houses, one would think you'd go all the way. And I'm just putting the other side of the argument. Also, Simon Harris has, and maybe events in the last week have changed this, has told friends and supporters that he would like to go to Washington to receive the shamrock during that campaign, which will stretch into March, should they go all the way.
But you're subject to the vagaries of events, dear boy.
But now, Donald Trump right now looks likely to get in. So that's not a good photo op in the end.
Yeah.
But maybe Kamala Harris would be grand. But yeah, and I think the thing to really watch, and I heard your conversation with Pat, and I've heard a few others. I'm not quite sure if everyone has looked at the thing.
You're not convinced of an autumn election?
No, I
think, if you're a betting man, which way would you go?
No, when you say events, I'd look at the odds. Politicians, as you know, and for a long time you were a frontline politician, make decisions not like the rest of us. They make decisions probably in the immediacy. They'll look at the data. If there's a huge advantage to be gained by going early in October, November, they will go then. But the thing to watch, I think, is the vote and the budget. So the majority really is only, I think, and I could be corrected, is razor thin. It could be just the Ceann Comhairle. But if you look at the
votes, the MEPs, you know, that's actually
to come as well.
It's in its favour. From the 13th of July, there's a few less in opposition. Michael McNamara, you know, that kind of thing. But
if you look at that figure, just for Simon Harris's vote as Taoiseach, it was about 19. So if that diminishes, markedly during the budget, that majority based on independence, I think the starting gun really will be fired.
Okay, Louise, what's your take on this insofar as that one of the things that FG and FFers say to me is to kick someone when they're down. And the setback that Sinn Féin got is another reason to have an accelerated election, because previously in 2019, you resuscitated yourself by the time 2020 came. Would you like to see an autumn election? And what are you expecting?
I think we're all expecting, which actually just goes to show how much store people play on place. On the word of the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach, who can't pass a microphone without insisting that there won't be an early election.
In very adamant terms, which
very
I'm not
adamant.
Like, why not say, I'll make up my mind then.
The thing I'm asking myself now is, how are they going to climb down out of this? Yeah. I'm assuming that you and your colleagues in the media will go hell for leather after them for breaking all of those promises.
It is a bit hypocritical. It's not a crime to say we will do when we think it's best for
but
the country
sure,
and for our party.
The Taoiseach swears a hole in a tin bucket that he'll go the full term any opportunity he gets, and nobody. By the way, I'm in opposition, right? So that's fair enough. Maybe I wouldn't believe the Lord's Prayer out of his mouth. That's fine. But his own people don't believe him. His own people are saying that they're getting ready for
what's right
an election.
For the country, do you think?
I think an early election, the sooner the better. And we want to see an end to the 13 and a half years of Fine Gael rule. I think that's what people want. We think that the people should have their say. They'll have a chance to do that. I think it's going to be very tough for the two parties who make them the main parties that make up the government to try to differentiate themselves, because they have essentially...
Well, they're starting to transfer to each other. So just for example, in terms of your own
what they have done is they have moved to become more or less the same party, the same policies, but they just haven't actually done the merger yet. So I suppose...
But just in terms of Sinn Féin planning for the election, Simon Harris said all conventions must be done by the 22nd of September. I'm sure there's manifesto preparations. Mm-hmm. Are Sinn Féin ready?
Yes.
Do you have a manifesto good to go?
Yes, indeed. And we'd be very foolish not to be honest with you, Ivan, you know, because one way or another, an election will happen in the next couple of months. So, I mean, there's not long left in this government. I heard, I think it was Hildegard Nocton say, you know, she was referring to midterm elections. They're not in their midterm. They're not even in they're in the late stages of the last term at this stage.
The fifth year.
So
yeah.
That's it. You know, and I mean, realistically speaking, we know there is going to be an election. We stand ready to fight that election. Of course we do. We'd be foolish not to be ready.
Okay. I mean, looking at it from Fianna Fáil's perspective, coming out of gaining a seat in the Euro elections, gaining a seat in Midlands North West, which you hadn't done for 10 years, I could make a case in Louth, where you've no seat, in Meath, certain parts of it and so on, in Kildare. You know, there's a case for Micheál's dream, which is get 45 seats, got Fine Gael in disarray with retirements. And if he's the largest party and they try and put it together again, as John says, he'd get first dibs on being Taoiseach. What not to like for Fianna Fáil?
Yes, Ivan, I agree with you. And to be very honest, I suppose personally, myself, I would have suspected perhaps we were going to have an election before the end of the year. But I actually believe now, as you've said in your introduction, that both Micheál Martin and Simon Harris have said it so often.
They've been hoist on their own petard a bit.
Well, I think that I mean, Micheál Martin is a sincere man anyway, and he does stick by his word. And he has said this from the outset, and even going into this coalition, he has said he wanted to see a five-year term.
So you're convinced he will be in the spring?
I am, actually. I am, actually. I think, you know...
Old Brian Lennon used to have a great phrase when he was doing a U-turn. He'd say, the futility of consistency. And with that, he was away.
But as you said yourself, they could say at any point in any of the media doorsteps that they do, that they would pick a time that is the right time for the country, but they haven't. They've both been very adamant in it will be March 2025 and that this government and this coalition will see out its 5 years.
Staying with you, your report from your committee saying that RT should be taken into full exchequer control and do away with the TV licence. Fine and dandy. How much would that cost the taxpayer?
Quite a significant amount. If the TV licence in 2022 was 156 million. So if you are to strike that off and go complete exchequer funding, you're talking about 300 million has to be found to fill that gap.
And while that's understandable for a state-owned institution like the HSE, is it justified in the case of RTE?
No, absolutely not. And I, as chair, have always said publicly that I believe it isn't the right thing to do my position would be it isn't the right thing to do to
eliminate. Did you dissent from your own committee?
I did. Well, we took a vote.
That gives me hope that there's some sanity left in that committee.
Yeah, and I suppose it was a lot of discussion on the day of the launch of the report about the dissent that was among the committee about those who were not in favour of eradication.
So what do you think the government, because I think the expectation is before they go on their holidays the end of July, but after the Dáil recess, they will make a hybrid decision. What do you think will happen?
I think they will make a decision. I think this debate has gone on so long, everybody's had it up to here. I think the government have had it up to here too. I think they know that all the reports are done, implementation is in place, or implementation, a five-year plan is there now to put an implementation plan in place. And I think the government and the heads of each of the parties and the Minister for Media knows that a decision has to be made. I do think she's a battle on her hands because I think the Minister for the Media has a different view than my own perspective, than my own leader, than the Fine Gael leader.
But the Greens
as well.
Are on the way out. I mean, like the Fine Gael and Labour, they've never been
in
weaker,
that,
the Greens.
Catherine Martin has definitely been very committed to her view and her position on this.
And it's
this.
Her department's view.
Absolutely.
And it was the Commission's view. And so, what do Sinn Féin favour?
We favoured the direct exchequer funding. We agree with the Future Media Commission. But I would agree with Niamh in terms of people are actually sick of this now. They really are. We had our fill of RTE scandals, high wages and all of that. And I will, if you'll indulge me for a moment, Ivan, just say what I always say at this time, which is the vast majority of people who work in RTE earn very normal money. They earn normal wages, they live in normal sized houses, and they live very normal lives. But unfortunately, all of the distraction is created by the superstars on the big bucks. And that leaves, I mean, the staff in RTE are absolutely demoralised. And I think Niamh would have heard this at the committee as well. They are absolutely demoralised now. And then they open the 5-year plan, and what do they see in it? Redundancies for ordinary people who feel like now they're being punished for the excesses of the high up management and the big superstars in RTE. So I do think we need to put the funding onto a secure footing.
I want to challenge you on this. So the RTE management and board have approved what's called a new direction. Mm-hmm. Downsize, independent Channel 4 publisher model so they could outsource things and all of that. Surely if it brings under exchequer control and you don't just get 20 million here or 50 million of a bailout, it's kind of in perpetuity a bailout, how will they ever reform RTE and modernise it with the digital age if it's under exchequer control?
Because they have to do that, because that is the role of the Director General, to deliver for the listeners and for the viewers, because at the end of the day, they are the people that RTE should exist for. But I don't think the solution to the woes, if you want to call them that, of RTE lies in outsourcing. I actually think the solution lies in effective management and ensuring that, that we have as many programmes made in RTE as possible. I also think we need to look at funding for the independent and the community sector. There's people might necessarily
it's
know
some of
this,
that is public service.
But
absolutely.
There is a really vibrant community media sector that, if it had even a tiny,
particularly
amount of
in
funding,
Dublin and places like that, yeah. You know,
but
where
you
the
look
choice
at
is national
Northeast
only.
Area radio, like near FM, operating out in Coolock. They're operating. I think they're 25 years there now. They are like a fantastic radio station. They do media training
on a shoestring,
on an absolute shoestring. So I think they would be deserving. If we're going to talk about a new funding model, we need to be bringing them into it.
So John, we've heard what should happen, what will happen. You have the inside track.
And if you were to look back to the Mail on Sunday of the 2nd of July last year, I had a line in it which said there were going to be 400 redundancies. I think the government were clear back then what needed to happen. Kevin Backhurst has played a very good political game, I think. And if you were to read back into his new direction report very clearly in black and white, I have it somewhere there, a screenshot on my phone, there is a commitment for 400 redundancies and a big reduction of the footprint of RTE. So the big cost-cutting measures that the government have asked for have been fulfilled. Therefore, they're going to keep. I think RTE are very, very lucky, really. I think it's a utopian view to say that they should be completely exchequer funded for many, many reasons. Should we get a Donald Trump in this country in the future and they were wholly controlled by the government, it would be a very, very scary situation. But I'll give you another utopian view. I don't think the government should have any involvement in current affairs. I think that's completely
But do you accept against, that the cost of, say, Primetime Investigates is not something that the market will pay for?
Well, you know, in other jurisdictions they do. And you know, colleagues of Louise have argued with me in this radio station about, say, the United States. CBS and ABC and NBC have conducted investigative journalism for the best part of 50 years without any state funding. Anyway, that's not going to happen. There's going to be a hybrid model. Despite Neve's committee's recommendation, which she has dissented with, there will be a retention of the licence fee, which even with all the evasion comes in at about 130 million a year. And you know, finance ministers are not going to give up that. There will be some form of increased funding. And great news for your listeners. News Talk and
Virgin
and other independent outfits are going to get some kind of public service contribution from the state for their participation in public service.
And do you think this will be decided by the end of the month?
That, I'm told, is decided already.
Okay.
There was a cabinet meeting the week before last, and Catherine Martin, I reported, had said at that that this
okay.
Virgin and others will be so part of that conversation.
I don't get many chances to be on the radio, but I think there would be a general acceptance when the election comes, the big issue is housing, right? Now, I do an awful lot of conference work and so on, and I'm looking at listening to Irish Water, absolute crisis, unless we fast forward Dublin and the Greater Dublin Area is going to run out of water. They're 85% dependent on the Liffey. For sewerage, that Ring's End is at capacity and they need Clonshock, an orbital pipe system, and it's absolutely stuck in planning. It's not going to happen. And in terms of electricity output demand, electrifying cars, heat pumps and all that, is going to increase by 50%. There ain't going to be electricity. Offshore wind is miles away. It's at least 8 years away. My question to you is this. Is there any chance that someone, in terms of planning reform and actually delivering on housing, that the political parties will address these issues? Because I know it seems like a long term away, but it's not.
Well, I mean, the planning bill, which has been going through the Dáil at the moment, is a huge piece and hopefully will provide some of the solutions of the issues that you're talking about. I mean, Dara O'Brien, in as housing minister, has provided and furnished one of the greatest suites of schemes across housing. I mean, if you want to just go on housing, Ivan, right, and you think about since Fianna Fáil came into government, and particularly Dara O'Brien, you have so many schemes out there that does address the urban issue, that does address the rural issue.
And he's brought it from nothing to 34,000 houses a year. But everyone, including the Housing Commission, say it now gets up to 50, Easter Eye this week, 50,000 a year. So we need a step change. Like, does the body politic and does the government understand how urgent some of these issues are?
I absolutely think, and I go back to the planning bill, where there is an acceptance there and has been that we've had stalemate and that this country has been tied up in bureaucracy and planning objections that have gone on for years. You see areas that have been dezoned where arguably more housing is needed right across the country. And all of that, Dara O'Brien has absolutely tried to address as Minister for Housing.
Okay, so just from Sinn Féin, like, any new ideas, like an infrastructure delivery minister? I mean, Keir Starmer put it a major platform, planning reform. I know Eoin Bryn has done a lot of work in this area.
Yeah.
What's your answer to the housing crisis?
Well, I think we need to build social and affordable homes for working people to rent and buy. But I think affordability and availability are the two key terms. And I mean, Neve treated us there to the greatest hits of Dara O'Brien. I share a constituency with Dara. My constituents are expected to find £500,000 for an affordable home in Lusk. That's simply not doable. I don't know how anyone can call it a success when a person who earns over 100 grand a year in this state actually now needs housing support. Like, that's insane. But even if you take that out of it completely, there are 14,129 reasons to know that this government are failing on housing, because that's the number of people in emergency accommodation. That doesn't count the women and men indeed in refuges. That doesn't count people sofa surfing, people
but
in overcrowded accommodation.
Do you accept planning though, isn't it? Because you take Clonliff now. Clonliff is with 1,600 apartments. Hines bought it. They paid 100 million for it. 4 years later, they've got no. They decided that religious heritage was more important than the judicial review.
I understand.
Like,
I understand
like
that planning is an issue, but I also understand, and very clearly from my colleague Eoin Bryn, But not just from Eoin Óibrín, from experts in the planning area as well, all of whom have said that whatever the intention, this new planning bill will not improve bureaucracy. In fact, it's going to add additional layers. So that's not going to happen. You referred to infrastructure. Infrastructure is absolutely essential. Cliff Taylor has been writing about this for a while. He talks about the orange lights are flashing now. So they're not quite flashing on red, but that's the time when you really need to take action. We know from the American Chamber, from others, and commentary that business representative groups make, that that is something that is starting to concern them. So that needs to be, that obviously needs to be tackled. But this planning bill is not the way to do that. And it's not just me saying that, but experts in the planning
area
will
say that to me. Like, there are problems with judicial reviews, the problems, like, they put 200 extra staff into Portman. Like, you're looking at these, you're on the gallery there. Like I'm dealing with the corporate world who's trying to deliver, you know, people like Glenveagh, Cairn Homes, who want to build 3,000 houses a year. The people who will actually build the houses. I mean, does the political system bubble get it?
Well, the planning, the much heralded planning bill, as far as I know, I'm almost sure, will not be voted on before the recess. Now, if we go with Ivan Yates' predictions, there's going to be a general election in autumn. That bill isn't going to get through. So we're nowhere on it. I think historically, there might be a reluctance to give a complete head to developers in Ireland because of the planning corruption we had here with the 15-year tribunal.
Well, now we have a different type of corruption. People want to be paid to withdraw objections.
Absolutely. And I grew up near Darndale in North Dublin and other similar developments, which were a disaster sociologically and everything. So I think there is an urge to be careful. But across Western Europe, there is a concern over consensus-driven governments that we've had in Western Europe for 50 years have allowed red tape to build up in all aspects of our economies, which make it impossible to do what needs to be done, which is to build housing here. Now, whether on Sinn Féin's bidding, people in Ireland who are aspirational and traditionally, for very, very dark historical reasons, want to own their own land or their own house, whether they want to aspire to local authority housing, I'm not sure. But of course, there are vulnerable in society who are very much requiring of it. But whether their solution is going to be anything better than allowing private developers to build houses, I doubt it. And this planning bill isn't going to do it. We may need a new government, okay, but very much so.
Don't recess just for our two politicos. Where are you going on your holidays?
I'll be taking the ferry to France, as I have done every year for the last 27 years.
And you'll be hanging around the joys
the
of Cavan and Monaghan.
The constituency, I have nothing planned yet.
Have you no holiday plans?
Not yet, no.
Oh dear.
No.
All right. Well,
the election's
been
coming.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Don't miss any funerals.
Louise is obviously sure of her seat. She can go on holiday.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'd say she's sure of her seat. All right. Well, my thanks to Sinn Féin frontbencher, TD for Dublin Fingal, Louise O'Reilly, to Niamh Smith, who was close, I'd say, for the reshuffle to getting a spare gig. Might get it next time. Fianna Fáil TD for Cavan Monaghan and chair of the media committee. And John Lee, who you can read next Sunday in the Mail on Sunday with his latest scoop of what the government is going to do. My thanks to one and all.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.